right. Welcome back, all of you regulars, and many of you only listen probably to this 1 hour, three times a week that we do to get your dose of as close to reality as we can assemble and present for you. It's like a free drive-in and take-out. You know, we hope it's good. We try and make the quality as best as it possibly can be, and you take and do what you want with it. We're not here to tell people how to think. It's not what we do. There's a lot going on, a lot of sheer idiocy again in the alt news world, and there are so many. And I'll say this: it's not just the idiots; it's some of the very slick presenters. Some of the top biggest names are compromised. Use that word. Just keep it simple. They're compromised. They didn't come out of nowhere by accident. Long ago when they first appeared. And we've done some, over the years, other people long ago did some very serious research on some of these big lights. And what we found in almost every case were obviously traceable, if not surmisable, links to the intel community. They own the whole damned alt news world, with a few exceptions. This is one of them. But that's okay. So just be careful out there. Don't embrace something and run around and kind of spread it, telling people how much you know and did you hear about this and that. Because it's usually, if it's got pop and sizzle, it's a load of crap. It's just crap. I'm going to read you some crap here in just a minute. Hello there, young lady.
Hello. Good evening.
Eric has been out all day with the fire departments picking up fallen people and taking others to the hospital. They're really after it, aren't they?
Yeah, it's probably doubled over the last couple of weeks, just the number of calls and emergencies.
And some of the calls, I mean, the one I heard the other day, what was it? Somebody was, the dispatcher dispatched, a fire engine and the paramedics because some lady had an upset stomach.
A stomach ache, yeah.
Now, that's not to say that she might not be seriously ill. We don't know. But that was the call, and it was just kind of a little comic relief for a moment. But these people are running all day, and I don't know how it is in your town, if you're listening. And if you want to listen, again, broadcastify, IFY, and you can just type in your community and you'll be able to hear your local fire and rescue service dispatch and you'll know what's going on. But they really are running all the time now.
Yeah, it's picked up noticeably. Sadly.
It is. Well, it's the building tsunami. It's what we sort of expected
predicted.
All this time.
Yeah, it was foreseeable.
Right.
You know, particularly when this last injection was rolled out, it was just stunning, the number of people that raced to get it.
We keep seeing stories where disappointing numbers of people are taking the shot. Well, I don't know if that's true. We really don't know. All we do know is that when we called several pharmacies last month in October, in middle of October, they were booked up till the end of November, weren't they, some of them, into the November
20s? Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know what they're doing, but maybe they're trying to use reverse psychology on people. They made a mistake, though, when they tried to steer away from calling this a booster. They should have called it another booster. Get your booster. Then people would have been not wary about, what, this is all new? What am I getting? They could have tricked more into taking it by calling it just another booster, I think. That's marketing.
Well, I think the mentality was that there'll be a new COVID shot, just like there's a new flu strain every year, so we'll have a shot for every COVID strain that comes around. Did you see the article the other day in Children's Health Defense about the New Mexico is now training hairstylists to promote...
I put that up. It's in headlines. And this is They were trying in the early days of the initial bioweapon deployment to get veterinarians to inject the public in their offices, in veterinary offices.
Mm.
I don't know how much that panned out or didn't, but I know my vet at the time was approached, among others.
Well,
they're going to get paid,
you know,
like $50 a shot or something, too.
At least that's something of a medical setting.
Something.
But, you know, a hairdresser?
Here's the headline. You'll find it in headlines up there now. Hairstylists will be giving bioweapon injections. Get your hair done and your life shortened all in one visit. There you go.
It's exceeded absurd at this point.
That's crazy. All right, here's crazy. The alt news world, again, is populated by endless numbers of opportunists, frauds, whatever. And that's not to say, don't get me wrong, that a lot of these fakes aren't giving out real news in many cases. Not all. They are. And I've said before, I've postulated before, that they're allowed to do this now because the controllers don't care anymore. Let the truth out. We've got these needles in 6.5 billion people. Go ahead. Have at it. It'll give them more credibility, too, if you understand that game. So here's, you know, Mr. X with his huge platform giving out the truth. Well, he looks better, doesn't he? So it's a win-win all the way around. These people are smart who did this. Absolutely brilliant. They tricked so many people into it. You think about it. If somebody were to come to me and 2019 or even early 2020 and say, yeah, they're going to trick 6.5 billion people into taking a death injection, I would have said, are you crazy? People aren't going to do that. And they did.
Yeah, they did.
All right, here's there's someone who goes by the name Doctor, although I don't have any proof or certification that this person is a doctor. Her name is Ariana Love. All right. You've probably run into her here and there. And this is just a post. Dr. Ariana Love just discovered that there is anthrax in the shots. Anthrax smells like formaldehyde. And only 20 to 40% of the population have the gene required to be able to smell it. So that explains why lots of people don't smell it, but it's still strong to us. Ariana Love, Goodwill Ambassador. Dr. Ariana Love to you. So, okay. 20 to 40% of the population has a gene that allows them to smell anthrax, which smells like formaldehyde. Write that down. You'll be tested on Friday. It's crazy. It's absolute
they're
lunacy.
They're blatant lies.
Yes.
For anthrax, you cannot taste or smell anthrax, for what it's worth. And there, no one has determined that there's anthrax in these shots. So I don't know where that's coming from, but, you know, you can pretty much say anything nowadays and put it out over the Internet, and you will probably convince somebody that what you're saying is true. And the first question
Absolutely.
Should always be, with these bold statements like this, how did you determine it? What were your methods? How were they verified? Did anybody review this?
She channeled it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, it's such a terrible morass of lies and fraud out there, the alt media, and mixed in with some good news. And there are some sincere people in it. I get that. We understand that. Greg Hunter, he comes across as a really good guy, and he's trying to figure things out. I like Greg Hunter. Yeah,
I think if you watch it long enough, you get a feel for who's genuine. I've never seen so many opportunists and hucksters as I have over the past 2 years. It's shameless.
Crawled out from
utterly
under
shameless.
Every rock you could imagine, just waiting. Hucksters, P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum would laugh his ass off at this.
Mm.
He would just laugh. It's crazy. It's crazy. Okay. So what? One more note on the paramedics, and they're going to get burned out at some point. This is going to get to the levels that they just, they're going to be wiped out. I hope they don't quit.
They are relying increasingly on the private ambulance to pick up the slack now. And then they've got, I believe, three paramedics in the city. And then if they're all engaged, then they end up calling the backup, the private ambulance.
Right. That's the one that has, in big red letters, meat wagon on the side, right?
Yeah. And even they were busy. They evidently were all out when a call came through, and it took some time to
get one of them freed up.
The call.
Interesting.
Mm.
Well, broadcastify. The word broadcast and add IFY to it. All right, and you can go listen. All right. Now, we had a couple more little video clips from Monday that we didn't get to, which are worthy of our time and yours as well. So let me see if I can get this correctly set up. I ran out of time here. Hold on. I forgot. Did you thaw the turkey?
No.
Oh, come on. Well, put it out. Put it out.
Okay.
And just, at least it'll be all right overnight. Okay, here we go. Tell us about Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, and then we'll jump into this.
Oh, okay. So this is a continuation of what we did on Monday. It's the FLCCC weekly webinar that took place last week. And just talking about what she's seeing in the soldiers that she's charged with overseeing in terms of their fitness for duty, and in particular
pilots.
Yeah. And she had thought that now that we're almost 3 years out, that things were going to settle down a little bit, that we'd seen probably the worst of what we're going to see. But then in the last few months, it seems like there's a new wave of injuries occurring. A lot of autoimmune diseases. The clotting is still an issue. The myocarditis is still an issue. And then there are mishaps that are happening while these soldiers are, engaged in what they're doing.
She's a brave one. She's not a firebrand type. She's very methodical, a real pro, consummate professional. So when you hear her talk, I think you're going to hear a real check on reality with her always. Here we go. Hang on.
Here, now they have an incentive to really keep it to themselves.
So I just 2 days ago, I had a text message from a guy said, hey, I friend of this person, and they said you could help me. And I got on the phone with him, and he said, hey, I fly really high performance military aircraft. I won't say which one. And I had a heart attack and I've been permanently grounded and I want to talk to you about it. So, okay. And he said, this blew me away. He said, they pulled a clot the entire length of my left anterior descending out of my heart. And he just had 2 out of 10 chest pain for a few hours and finally went in. Unbelievable.
How old was this patient?
34.
Yep. Wow.
Okay, we did play that on Monday. I remember now. Do you remember?
Yes.
Or do we not?
I do.
I think we did. The clot in the heart is, yeah, that, I mean, how grim can it be? Guy has 2 out of 10 pain. It's almost an ignorable level. You just kind of, it'll drift in and out of your consciousness. It's there. But he had a clot in his heart. Wow.
I know.
Wow. All of these things, and we have laid out dozens of different pathways by which the bioweapon is anti-life and will end up, tragically, taking the host out. And what's happening is these things are growing and compounding in the bodies of people, in the bodies of billions of people, and they are now beginning to manifest terminal issues. It's a time game. They knew this when they built the whole thing. They have plausible deniability, not to mention the fact that the attention span of most people is very short now.
I think there's evidence to suggest that they knew that clotting was going to be an issue based on those tenders they put out. What was it, back in 2020?
Yes.
Both the U.K.
In England.
And I believe that's when they approved, in June of 2020, the anticoagulants for children.
Horrible.
So they knew.
And if you just paid attention, you wouldn't be deceived or tricked by it. You'd get it. All right, here's more from Lieutenant Colonel Long.
You have sudden cardiac death, you're going to get a defibrillator, and that is not really simpatico with radio frequency jamming equipment and other things. So that's an automatic out. And the kid with the clot in his leg, they put him on Xarelto, Eliquis. Yeah. The clot got bigger. And so he told me that he started taking natokinase, and within a month it was gone.
Yes. So I have, let me add one more to that. So I have actually a pediatrician patient of mine who started getting...
This is Pierre Corey talking, Dr. Corey.
Numerous SVTs, so superficial vein thromboses, but painful. They kept repeating. She got it on standard dose Eliquis. They went up, they switched to warfarin. They kept her on a higher range, still got clots. And then she, I think, ended up on like 1.5 times the dose of Eliquis, and then it seemed to stop. But that's not normal. It's very rare for someone to get a clot on anticoagulation. And I know of a number of cases since the vaccines come out.
Yeah. And, you know, you just look at these strokes and 24-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 29-year-old. And I will say this, though, I'll get your guys' opinion on this. I have personally seen where people want to get genetic testing on these people because they want it. These doctors want to blame it on something other than the vaccine. And it's my position that can be, I don't think most people realize that if that test, you know, comes back positive, then maybe your disability would be disapproved because it's a pre-existing condition, a congenital condition. But I look at that and same thing with VAERS reports. You know, you got to wonder if you file a VAERS report, will that someday be used to deny an insurance claim? I think you guys might find it funny, not funny. You probably can't see this. I got notification today by VAERS, and they let me know that that I filed a report a year ago, and they're just now reaching out to me. And 2 weeks ago, I had them reach out to me on the very first VAERS report I ever filed back in 2021. And when I said to the gentleman, I said, what the hell? I mean, this is the very first VAERS report I filed on a case of myocarditis. And the guy said, I'm sorry, we're just now getting to September of 2021.
You get the idea how the game is played right there.
Mm-hmm.
Stall. They stall it out. No problem. It's just crazy. Who was it that said, I guess it was Bobby Malone said, as far as he's concerned, every single person who took a bioweapon shot has myo to some degree. Wasn't it him?
Yes, and Peter McCullough has said the same thing. And then we had this recent paper that showed that there were noticeable changes in the electrical activity, I think, on a subcellular level in the heart that were present in the vaxxed but not in the unvaxxed. So there are changes in the heart that, you know, may not come to fruition or be noticed for some time, but there's right. something irregular about the hearts now.
Well, we go back to Michael Palmer, Dr. Palmer, the German, and his slides that we had on the program, I don't know, several weeks ago now, showing heart muscle and brain tissue, heart muscle especially, that was being attacked by your own T lymphocytes to kill the cells that were
right.
spike associated and leaving scar tissue behind. And the heart muscle, remember, doesn't regenerate. So it's so insidious that I just stealth, whatever. Things are going on in the human body that do not leave pain markers for you. They're not going to give you symptoms. Oh, my heart hurts. Yes, it does in some cases. It hurts. But many times it doesn't. That's why these athletes are just out there doing what they do, and they'll fall over dead.
Yeah. And athletes, right. you know, high-performance athletes have a renowned higher tolerance for pain in many cases.
That's
they'll just push through it.
Macho.
Yeah.
Macho. Not a good thing.
And I should just want to add, too, with these anticoagulants, that it is becoming discussed more that these high-priced pharmaceutical anticoagulants, the Eliquis and the Xarelto, those are the two typical ones they're using now, are not really working as well as the enzymes, natokinase and bromelain. Interesting.
No.
And, you know, if you have to have a reversal with either one of these, these are not like warfarin. Warfarin, that was the blood thinner up until, I don't know, probably 10 years or so ago. They would put people on if they were at risk of having a clot. You could reverse the effects of warfarin with an injection of vitamin K. But with these latest ones, these newer ones, Eliquis, Xarelto, and
now follow this. This is important, everyone. Follow this. This is very interesting.
Well, these two, they're called factor 10 or factor X inhibitors. Mm-hmm. And to reverse them, I mean, if you start to bleed out, you're going to have something to stop the effects of these things, because you could literally bleed to death. So in order to reverse the effects, you have to have a reversal agent, which is a very high-priced drug injection that costs $58,000.
So they put you on these blood thinners, and you can't just stop taking them. You can't do that. You
well,
need
you,
a $58,000 shot
effects.
To stop it. Yeah, the effects. This is crazy. Crazy.
And Pradaxa is a little bit better. The reversal agent for Pradaxa is only $4,000 per reversal, but these other two,
$58,000.
Think
about
it.
Yeah,
this is getting obscene.
They created
this
weapon to wipe out much of humanity through many, many different ways. And they're getting rich, filthy rich.
Yeah, they're making money at every turn.
Filthy.
And nobody's really getting better. I mean, you know, as we've said before, with the symptoms are being managed, but are there any real recoveries?
Not as far as we can tell. Maybe there are some, but myocarditis, inflammation, and damage to the heart by way of the T lymphocyte. And the spike, that doesn't go away. It's not like a bacterial or viral flu or infection. This is permanent damage.
We have a reader. Somebody came into the myocarditis group a couple weeks ago, the wife of somebody who had taken the shot and experienced some myocarditis a couple years ago. We should read that if we can find it.
Very good.
Once we finish this. But the other thing I want to mention about these clots is these rubbery-type clots that they're seeing, the embalmers are seeing.
Amyloid?
It's now believed that these things are not rubberizing in that way until the person dies and the body cools. So that while the person's still alive, you're not likely to pull out a big white clot like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So they morph into something more like a big piece of a rubber band or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
After,
I mean,
so
there's still amyloid fibrils
change.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
But when the body cools, these proteins all coagulate into this rubbery substance. So it's believed that part of this is what they call cryoglobulins. Cryo meaning frozen or cold, and the globulins are the proteins. And so it's a phenomenon that happens after the person dies.
Are they suggesting then that these 3-foot-long amyloid clots are not necessarily in that configuration while the patient is still alive?
No, you can still detect amyloid fibrils, but just not in these big, long strands.
So those
you can see them microscopically. That's why they're doing these stainings.
So they agglutinate after death because of the body cooling. That's
yes.
What they're suggesting.
Well, they just agglutinate more. Let's put it that way, more.
Huh. That's interesting. So I guess the trick is don't die.
Well, if you die, then you congeal, I guess.
Yes,
or these
I've known
clots
people
congeal.
Like that. Yes. A congealed personality. Okay. Here's Dr. Pete Chambers, a former military doctor, had over 5,000 soldiers under his direction. And we're just going to let him talk for several minutes and get what he has to say about heart attacks. Here we go.
I had 5,000 soldiers under me. I was the task force surgeon, and it was my job to keep them in readiness level to man the outposts along 1,250 miles of Texas border. Age group, same as Teresa's, fittest people in the world. So I had a combination of infantry guys, paratroopers, and Green Berets. Green Berets being the most fit, definitely similar to a flight status person. So now we're looking at that, and I had a vaccination rate in the beginning of this thing, before the mandates came to the military. In the beginning, less than 10% vaccination rate. These are young people. They're being reason for them to take it. They come to the border. And now at this point, and this is a really good story because I wanted to tell you this the other day. We didn't have time to talk much. I'm looking at my very first case of myocarditis / pericarditis in a 27-year-old soldier that had come down from the North Dakota National Guard to help us to volunteer down here. And he had just received his vaccine a week before he showed up on the border. As soon as he showed up on the line, crushing chest pain. Now, the way it works for me as an operational guy is I could be 1,250 miles away. They call me and say, hey, we got a guy down here, chest pain. So I'm triaging on the phone. And I send him over to McAllen Heart Hospital, and then I'll get back over there when I can, and we'll follow up. And by the time I make it back, he's already comfortable. He's in the bed. They have the diagnosis, straight up myopericarditis. Well, he had received his shots. And at this point, I'm thinking, in my whole career from 2003, and I came in the Army in 83 as an enlisted guy, but as a doctor from 2003 until 2022, I've had one tombstone-like, stain. Mm. Okay, one of a 52-year-old master sergeant that was overweight. Okay, that was it. And it happened. I mean, you're going to see that. But typically in my group, Green Berets, pretty healthy. But, that guy was just kind of a desk guy, and that happened.
Now, Pete, you want to tell our listeners, or viewers, what a tombstone is?
Yeah. So it's a tombstone because it's usually associated with end of life. But this guy, we got him out. We were in Afghanistan when it happened, by the way. We got him to Germany, and we saved him. And he's out. But the way that the EKG looks, the way the shape of it is like a tombstone. You know, your normal EKG looks like, squiggly lines. We call it the PQRST. Well, this thing goes up, and when it gets into that phase where it should just be a straight line, it literally lifts up and it turns into a big arc, and it looks like a tombstone. And when I see that as an ER guy, that's usually time for me to start intervening pretty quickly. Anyway, now I'm seeing these things, you know, the cases on the border out of 5,000 troops, I had 18 cases of soldiers in that same age group of just chest pain, nonspecific. All right. Well, then it was narrowed down. I ended up with six that were diagnosed that I knew about, that I saw their diagnosis from the emergency rooms that they went to, because I didn't have that kind of facility. I had a level, you know, a battalion aid station level treatment facilities along the border. And usually they just went straight to the emergency room. All right. Now, then I started getting neurologic, and they were coming in different batches. So as the different batches were being given, I would start looking at this stuff and wondering, okay, as I'm watching VAERS data on the civilian side, paying attention to that, and then Teresa Long and myself started talking around this same time, and she said, have you seen the DMED data, the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, the most accurate system at the time for reporting, because it's based upon a international code for diagnosis and a visit to a military medical treatment facility. So the provider sees the patient, puts it down one for one every time they come in now, but these numbers are derived and very objective in nature. So now we're looking at this information. She says, look at the DMED. Well, I didn't have the system down at 5 hours south on the border. So I went back up to Austin, got on the system and said, whoa, the first one I saw, neurologic disorder. 11x rise. Okay, so now it's backing up what I'm seeing on the ground. But that system was created to be a sentinel event indicator. It was created to say, hey, guys, warning. You know, Will Rogers, warning.
Just like Vic.
Okay, so the type of dis-ease or damage, injury, is very broad-based. He's just mentioned two of them, neurological and heart. So many different things. And I don't know that we're seeing as many as we were. We were seeing a lot of reports about shingles, herpes. These are all indicators of a failing immune system, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things that plug into that paradigm. It's not funny. All right. Let's go and take a look at our material from the human side of the ledger, thanks to those professionals who shared that data with us. Okay, now you have one you want to get to. Do you remember where it is?
Yeah, I found it. It's November 10, and it's called Heart Scarring.
Okay, how far down the list?
Should be under H.
I got just a big block of material here, so.
Heart scarring.
Oh, halfway down? I'm looking
for
it.
Yeah, probably.
Exactly. Well, just go ahead. I'll find it after you.
All right. This is from a woman named Melinda. Hi, thank you for letting me join. I desperately need your help in your sharing your experience. My husband developed symptoms about 2 years ago after the second shot. They found troponin in his blood over many months. Troponin is an enzyme that's elevated when there's heart damage. Mm-hmm. They did not ask him to stop exercising. They did not examine his heart any further and instead claimed it was all in his head. 2 days ago, he had MRI, examination and appointment. The results are devastating. There is extensive scar tissue, fibrosis in his apex. The function of the left ventricle is very impaired. Many of the blood vessels are narrower and have thickened. Now they want to, quote, cut off some of the, quote, extra lining of these blood vessels that are intertwined with the epithelium. I guess none of the doctors talk to you as if you could possibly understand their procedures. It is sickening. A friend with a homeopathic education has warned us that such operations can damage the vessels even more, i.e., that the body's repair of the impacted vessels can lead to more damage. What should we do? I am so lost. Has anyone undergone such a surgery? Update. Now they want to insert a stent, Although he has a persisting myocardial inflammation, I cannot imagine that the irritated vessels can stand even more stress. And I thank all of you so much for your concern and kind wishes. I truly appreciate it.
It makes
you wonder
really
how many
crazy.
More are out there.
Exactly.
In that same situation.
Limitless numbers, probably.
I would think.
And so they're going to go, in this person's case, and go in to the vessel and try to ream out some of the inner thickened endothelial cells that have grown up for reasons of perhaps inflammation, or maybe they're microclotting. I don't know. This is
crazy.
Well,
there's probably, you know, as she said, extensive scarring and fibrosis.
Yes, yes.
So I think, yeah, the term roto-rooting is probably a good idea. Good term.
Incredible, all of it.
No, it's barbaric. You know, it's...
Now, these are witch doctors. Yes, I know they save lives occasionally, but for goodness sakes, this is...
Well, you know, nothing... was done when he had the symptoms initially, and that probably was the window of opportunity to minimize the damage.
Right.
But since nothing was done and he was not told to rest or do anything specific, then it did what it was bound to do.
God, crazy. Here's another one out of that same group. Cognitive dissonance. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a 30-year-old daughter who has had three and has been having these episodes of sudden high heart rate. It lasts for several hours. Last episode, she said she ended up going to sleep out of sheer exhaustion. She said it takes her a few days to recover. She's at mine. I don't know. I don't know what that means, at mine, maybe at my house. She looks wiped out and is sleeping now. She's been checked out. BP is fine. ECO, all good. Has been told it's just anxiety. I cannot discuss any link to her having three shots connected with this. It's like it's nothing to do with it. I wondered if any others are facing this with family or friends. So here's another issue of mental, psychiatric damage. And it's apparently manifesting in a multiplicity of different ways, because it really depends upon apparently where most of the myoclotting damage and necrosis of the brain is occurring, which part of the brain is being hit hardest. And certainly it's not restricted to just one. So these are going on all the time as well. Microclotting of the brain. Think about it. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
What else
next?
Looks good? You pick.
Sounds like we're at a restaurant. I don't know. Let's see here. A lot of people have headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Headaches from shedding. This is a very, very short one. The question was, did anybody get headaches from shedding? And if so, can you please tell me for how long and so forth? Someone wrote in and said, my wife had two shots 2 years ago. Since that, just to hug her for a few minutes gives me a headache. And the whole day after as well. Life is now a mess. I take bromelain, turmeric, natokinase. She does too, but nothing helps. So this guy apparently didn't get shot up. His wife did. And just to hug her gives him a terrible headache. Lasts all day. And the supplements aren't helping symptomologically with him or her. So that's not
good. Here's another one.
Either.
This one was from November 10, and headaches from shedding. This woman says, my first shedding experience, I would get severe headaches lasting for days. No pain relief worked apart from drinking pine needle tea. Eggs reduce severe shedding. I eat two per day. Well, you know, eggs are high in sulfur. And
yes,
the sulfur may be helping. You know,
okay,
that's NAC is also a form of sulfur that helps to just battle the effects of the spike, negate its effects.
We
so
take
it's
all these
the sulfur
things.
In the eggs.
We're taking all mm-hmm. these things. I actually eat two eggs quite often.
It's a superfood.
One of the best. Just make sure you get organic and free-range, humane eggs. I
mm-hmm.
think they actually taste better. Okay. What was this one? One of my best friends, unbioweaponed, nice way to phrase it, was just diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at 47. She eats a pristine diet. She gardens and lives in nature in North Carolina. Please make it make sense. Pray, my soul sister, who helps moderate this channel, also had a friend in his 40s have a major heart attack recently, requiring stents. He's unshot up, too. So these are unvaxxed people falling victim to these new, not new, but these classic, terrible breakdowns. Stage four cancer anywhere.
Mm.
Heart attacks. It's happening all over the place.
Well,
and
you know, if you get enough spike,
the
spike all on its own. You don't need the full virus.
You don't need anything else, no.
You only need the spike to have all of these, you know, devastating effects.
All right, let's see here. What do we got? We have a lot of things. Here's one. Sounds encouraging. Endless problems. Let's see what this is. Hey, everyone. As most of you, thanks to this beautiful, safe, and effective shot, I've lost my health, family, friends, and the ability to take care of myself. She lost her job and her career. I've been dealing with multiple diagnoses, varying from reactivated chronic late-stage Lyme, myocarditis, tinnitus, chronic fatigue, possible, what is that?
Sjogren's. It's an autoimmune disease.
All right, and the list goes on. Over 120-plus different symptoms in the past 3 years. Wow. Since my injury, I've excluded completely coffee due to my chronic debilitating chest pain, irregular heartbeats, tachycardia, heart fluttering, and I minimize the consumption of beverages that contain caffeine, Pepsi, Coke included, to try to prevent further issues with my heart. The past week, I felt the urge and the craving to drink a coffee, which I did, and the previous excruciating chest pain, which eased up before, came right back with a vengeance, with a variety of symptoms. Go ahead.
Now, I know that caffeine is a stimulant and also increases blood pressure. However, I measured my BP several times throughout the day and the days following, and it was normal. Optimal 120 over 80. However, the chest pain remained. I thought it could be a MCAS or histamine flare, but I've eaten regularly like before, consuming things that contain histamine without any issues. I'm just trying to figure out the why behind why caffeine reacts to my chest pain. I've been using nicotine patches to try to dislodge the spike from the nicotinic pathways and have seen some mild improvement cognitive-wise, but I'm very discouraged at almost three years with debilitating symptoms staying around. It is mentally and physically crushing me, and it's really hard to take it anymore. If someone has some relief, any tips, it would be greatly appreciated. And I can tell you there are just countless people in the same boat.
Right. All right, here. These people who are being shed upon and injured are really miserable. It's very hard for the average person who has not been injected and will think reflexively that he or she is relatively safe to all of a sudden find themselves dealing with the same kind of symptomology, aches and pains and horrible things that the vaxxed are manifesting all the time, and yet they are. The proof of shedding is a very difficult one for many people to understand, and I get that. Shedding frustrations. Do you see those? Go ahead.
Yes. What sucks is we went through so much bullying not to get the vax, and we still get shed on. But I am grateful for the tools and knowledge I have to fight the beast.
Excellent.
And one answer, are you? I'm not. My life is a nightmare from shedding, with two current hospital visits. One of them ended up in surgery. I told my mother honestly a few days ago, if something happens again, I will not seek any more treatment, but I will get the COVID jab to end the suffering. My life has already been gone for 3 years.
See, there's suicide. Talk of suicide again. And that's...
Well, despair. Just despair.
Total despair. Total despair. Awful. More. Let's touch on smells again. There's four down there near the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've done the first two. I'm looking at number three. I definitely smell the vaxxed. It's so strong and off-putting. I smell them from a great distance. I get extremely dizzy, tinnitus, and blocked ears from shedding, and it usually resolves in about 24 hours. Lately, I've noticed I am getting pain in my heart when I'm around several vaxxed people in meetings. I'm in my mid-40s. This shouldn't be happening. Terrible, frequent periods. So she's messed up. Go ahead and take the next one.
I'm not sure where you are, but...
Shedding smells, number three? No, not number three. Where did I go? Oh, it's number four. See, it's near the bottom. It just says smells.
Okay, much thought has gone into the smell. Every time I smell it, I struggle to place it. It is not rancid for me. I was a flight attendant for many years and spent much time waiting for transportation from the airport. The smell has a sort of exhaust background. The other smell reminds me of antifreeze. I had a cat that was poisoned, and it smelled like that. So weird.
Okay, here's number four there. I think we've got the others. In South India, this person is in South India. In South India, I'm not smelling it as severely as people in Pfizer'd countries. But sometimes I get the floor cleaner detergent, dryer sheet smell. It was strong last year. I did smell the stench of rot, like rotting meat, on one delivery guy last year. Prior to that, I smelled the chemical floor cleaner type odor on him. I think the recently jabbed put off the chemical smell. I get shedding symptoms after I smell it. Not always immediately, but often the day after or 2 days later. Here they dished out the Covishield. That's the AstraZeneca. The Covaxin, which apparently is an Indian company. Those are the two they use there, which were both freely dispensed door to door. Oh, how pleasant. Who is it? Got your shot out here. Okay, door to door. The majority took Covishield. That's an AstraZeneca product. These are adenovirus vector jabs. Sputnik V was offered in medical facilities and cost money. It wasn't given away free, so not as many took it. But I try to avoid crowds as much as possible, and I don't socialize with the jabbed, so maybe that's one reason I don't smell. At least I don't smell it as frequently. So this is a little bit of a concern. If people who smell the smell and then rebound from that with symptoms of having been severely shed upon, That's suggestive of potential. I would think exhalations are certainly number one in that venue, but is the odor itself causing problems? I don't know. I've only smelled it four times, but it is unforgettable, and it's not pleasant.
Well, I suspect, a lot of it is having to do with these people's metabolisms. They're not healthy.
Some people also suggest that if you've had the virus, it's messed up your sense of smell or hypersensitized you to smelling things you wouldn't ordinarily notice. But I would disagree with that. I think these people are genuinely...
Well, it can, but I think that that's a separate issue. I think there are distinct odors coming from these people because of their deranged metabolism and these poisons that they've been injected with. There's no question. And for some reason, some people are more sensitive to it than others. Particularly if there's aldehydes and acetone and alcohol vapors coming off of these people, and in some cases methane and hydrogen sulfide, because their microbiome is really messed up, their livers are messed up, some people are really going to be knocked off their feet by those smells.
Yep. I would not lay it necessarily on the smeller. I think it's legit.
No.
I think it's really happening. And apparently the people who are exuding these odors don't seem to notice it. I don't remember us coming across anything that would suggest that. I don't think they notice.
No, they don't. I've had some conversation to that effect. They don't notice it. They have to be told by someone else.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, there we go. Okay. Anything you want to add to that? I think we pretty well covered it.
Oh, that's plenty to chew on.
Yeah. Speaking of chewing, we certainly wish all of you a wonderful day tomorrow, as much of a wonderful day as it's possible to have anymore.
But make the best of it.
And give attention to the idea that every day is really a gift. Try and live like that. It'll help. You'll make more of a difference. Little things that matter. All right. Please don't forget to take the pumpkin pie out of the freezer.
Okay. I'll do that right now.
Thank you. Let's hope the turkey.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Good night.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All right. We'll be right back with more. Hang on.